The attorney general is Washington's chief attorney. Bob Ferguson won the job after spending 9 years on the King County Council and working as a lawyer in private practice. He's here to answer our questions. There are two separate and equal parts of the state legal system, the legislators who make the laws and the state officials who carry out the laws. Today we'll hear the story of one of them, Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869. Or if you've got a question for Bob, write to us. It's conversation@KUOW.org. Thanks for coming, Bob.
Thank you very much, Ross. Great to be here.
Let's start with the news. Listeners may have seen those T-Mobile ads for wireless phone plans that claim no restrictions, no annual contract. You say that's deceptive advertising. Why
that's,
is that?
That's right. In fact, we just announced today an agreement that we filed with King County Superior Court with T-Mobile to stop that deceptive practice. And it's a new advertising campaign that T-Mobile put into place about a month or so ago. They claimed exactly what you said, you know, no 2-year sentence. In other words, you can get out of this plan if you want to. But there was a catch. If it seemed too good to be true, sometimes, and often it is, and that was the case here, the folks in our office did some research and found out that if you try to get out of that plan, what you do is you're stuck with the balloon payment on the phone and phone equipment, which can often be more expensive than just the penalties related to a service plan. So we felt that advertising campaign was quite deceptive and worked with T-Mobile to correct it.
So one of the things is they're going to stop advertising. But what about the people who signed up based on this deceptive advertising? Is there anything in the settlement for them?
That's exactly right. And that was important for us to achieve relief for those folks. So if your listener is if you have any listeners who bought in this plan last month, they can reach out to T-Mobile. T-Mobile is required to contact them to outline what their rights are, and they have a chance to be refunded and get out of that plan at no cost to them. And that's an important part of this agreement.
Does this just affect Washington State? Will this ripple through to other states?
It's a really good question. In fact, this settlement impacts consumers throughout the entire country. So no matter what state you are in, if you have friends who signed up for it anywhere in the country, this is a significant settlement that gives relief to consumers, not just in Washington State, but across the country.
Now, is this one of those deals where T-Mobile doesn't have to say they did anything wrong?
That's right. So in the agreement we filed with the court, T-Mobile specifically says we deny we did anything wrong. In our view, it was a clearly deceptive practice, and that's why we entered into this agreement.
What's up with that? I mean, they're paying a penalty. They're discontinuing the activity, mm-hmm. and yet they get to say they didn't do anything wrong?
That's anytime you look at one of these cases, you've got to make a decision on whether you want to file a lawsuit and go through the cost and expense of filing a lawsuit and going through a court proceeding or reaching an agreement in the way that we have in this case. That's always a balancing test of which way to go. But it's not unusual for these types of agreements where they deny they've done anything wrong, but all the specific steps provide relief to consumers in the way that we want.
So that gets a settlement with less cost and same results, but they still get to say, we didn't do anything wrong.
That's right. In this case, what's important is this was a brand new advertising campaign. It just started, I think, literally less than a month ago. We're able to stop that, what we believe, deceptive campaign in its tracks after just a few weeks and get relief to those consumers who may have been misled.
Were there other AGs around the country who were also taking a look at this?
This was just us.
Well, how commonly does the state bring deceptive advertising claims against? You're relatively new on the job, but mm-hmm. you know the history mm-hmm. of the AG's office. Is this relatively unusual?
I wouldn't say it's relatively unusual, although to have a agreement that has that nationwide implication, relief for consumers across the country, that is a little bit unusual, to be honest. But that was critical for us in negotiating with T-Mobile. That didn't just protect Washington State residents, but residents, consumers around the country as well, and we were able to work that into the agreement.
How did that get on your radar so quickly?
So it's all credit to our attorneys and staff in the Consumer Protection Division of the Office of Attorney General. They're the ones who saw the advertising campaign, felt it was too good to be true, did some research on it, and found out that was the case. And so they specifically were the ones who found out, the folks in our Office of the Attorney General.
I feel like that all the time with those advertising campaigns for the mobile telephone companies. Are you looking at any other ads from that industry?
We don't talk about ongoing investigations for obvious reasons.
But you nod your head yes before you said that.
but we're always watching very carefully, and I'm really pleased with the work of our attorneys and staff and our Consumer Protection Division to bring this to light and to reach what we believe is a very positive outcome.
Washington Attorney General Bob Ferguson is my guest today. The Colorado Court of Appeals ruled today that people who test positive for smoking pot can legally be fired from their job. So it means in Colorado, there's no unemployment protection for marijuana users. Your thoughts?
Well, in Washington State, we have a different initiative, and we have a process we're going forward to legalize marijuana and allow for the licensing for folks to sell marijuana. That's a lengthy, time-intensive process. In my capacity as the attorney for the state, we're giving legal advice to our clients. I think it'd be premature for me to say what that Colorado court said. I've not had a chance to take a look at it in any detail. But what we're focused on in the Office of Attorney General is giving good legal advice to our clients as we move forward with legalizing marijuana and upholding the will of the voters here in Washington State.
It's been well reported since this past last November that if you have a job involving running heavy equipment or driving a school bus or something like that, your employer does not have to cut you any slack when it comes to smoking marijuana. But what are your thoughts about it for others who might not be in sort of mission critical things, who might smoke marijuana, might be asked to take a test, might test positive, and losing their jobs as a result of that? This could come to your office.
It absolutely could come to our office. And in fact, at a broad level, Ross, we've received numerous requests for legal advice from our clients around the state. It could be universities, for example, or different departments that we represent and agencies and commissions, all with similar questions and other questions as well. So we have our hands full right now in providing that legal advice to our clients. It's premature for me to speak to any specific issue and what our advice is because these are complex issues, but we're working hard to get that advice to our clients.
Well, when will you be able to talk about what you're telling your clients, the agencies of the state that might still want to do drug tests?
So a lot, as you know, the Liquor Control Board goes forth and sets forth the rulemaking, and we're working closely with them. We also have, of course, waiting for word from the federal government on what perspective the federal government will take with the legalization of marijuana here in Washington State. So I think those two paths are things that we're focusing on closely. We'll see what the federal government has to say, and that will dictate a lot of the advice we're able to provide once we know where the federal government is on whether or not, in their view, Washington State can move forward with legalizing marijuana.
Now, the state legislature is supposed to end their session on Sunday. A lot of doubt about whether that's going to happen. We talked a little bit earlier about what the governor's wish list was. But as the attorney general, do you have a wish list for what you want them to get done before they leave Olympia?
Yeah, absolutely. From our perspective, first of all, as your listeners know, I'm not a policymaker, right? I'm the lawyer for the state. But that said, we have issues of focus within the legislature that we care a great deal about. Those can be things, for example, we have a piece of legislation that we're optimistic will get through and get to the governor's desk, which is what we call the courthouse security bill. At a very high level, what that means, if you commit an assault, for example, in a courthouse, there's an enhancement for that penalty because we want our courthouses to be places where justice is dispensed. That's where you have a very tense situation, maybe rival gang members on opposite sides of an aisle in a courthouse. Maybe you have the victim of domestic abuse testifying before the person who impacted that abuse upon her. We want to make sure that folks understand when they walk into a courthouse, if you do something wrong in that courthouse, you assault someone, you'll have an enhanced penalty as a result of doing that in a courthouse. That's moved through the Senate and the House. We're trying to get concurrence so we can reach it and get it to the governor.
You don't create policy, as you said, but are there some laws being considered that you might be going talking to lawmakers and saying that's not such a good idea to pass that law because you'll have to enforce it?
Well, we're always very sensitive about giving legal advice on a pending piece of legislation for the simple reason that once the legislature adopts a law and it's signed by the governor, our role as attorney general in our office is to defend that law if it's challenged. So we are always very careful not to publicly be speaking about the potential unconstitutionality of a law because we may well soon be in the position of defending that law. So, hey, do we, of course, have conversations with legislators to give them our feedback on it? Of course. But we try and be very thoughtful and careful in how we do that.
Now, of course, the big deal for the legislature is coming up with a budget. And there are many people in the state court system who have been quite outspoken mm-hmm. about the fact as though they feel as though they're being underfunded. This is going to undermine justice in our state. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not directly your responsibility, but it's certainly going to reflect back to you as the state's head lawyer. What are your thoughts on the funding for courts?
Absolutely. That's an area of concern I've had for a long time. I used to chair the Law and Justice Committee on the King County Council, work closely with our local courts here in King County on similar requests for funding that they have at the local and the state level. So that is imperative to have that access to justice. And from my perspective as well, there are cuts to our Consumer Protection Office in the Office of Attorney General, about $2 million, which is a significant chunk of our budget that brings exactly the kind of cases we're talking about today, holding T-Mobile accountable for their practices, for example, taking on Wall Street banks. That's our consumer protection division that does that, but there's a cut of about almost a third from general fund support for consumer protection in the budgets we've seen from the Senate and the House. That will have an impact on our work.
So both the Republican-dominated Senate and the Democratically-controlled House both are proposing cuts to your office?
That's right. It's a $2 million general fund cut to our consumer protection division at this time, and we're working hard with legislators still at this point as the budget's being finalized, see if we can't get some relief from that.
Well, I wonder if you could also just reflect a little bit about what these court officials are saying. Why? How would we notice the fact that courts are underfunded? How would it affect us?
Well, so, for example, in my time on the King County Council, and the judicial officers would be the best ones to speak to that, but in King County, we've gone through potential budget cuts, and they've had to take a look at, hey, would they have to close the courts certain days of the week? Right now, of course, we have broad access. Would we have to limit programs that provide positive access to justice from folks who may not have the ability to pay certain filing fees, that type of thing? So it's a broad range of services provided by the courts to make sure that everybody can access the courts in a free and fundamental and fair way. That's really critical to our system of justice. I'm not an expert on their budget concerns right now, but at a high level, I believe it's fair to say that those in the court system believe that that will be adversely impacted given the scale of the potential budget cuts that they're facing.
Bob Ferguson is with me. He's Washington's attorney general, fairly new on the job, but you already have stepped out there on some issues. We talked about the T-Mobile case, which you announced today. You've also filed a lawsuit against Richland florist Baronelle Stutzman. She owns Arlene's Flowers and Gifts, and the lawsuit is because she refused to provide wedding flowers for a gay customer. You say it's a violation of the Consumer Protection Act. How so?
That's right. So the way it works in Washington State under our laws, we have a law against discrimination, which lays out in a pretty straightforward manner that you can't discriminate against someone on the basis of race, for example, or religion, or sexual orientation. Sexual orientation was added in 2006 to that law against discrimination. I have filed a consumer protection action against the owner of that flower shop because in a consumer setting, in other words, selling flowers, serving food at a restaurant, you can't discriminate in a consumer setting. And that's what the owner of this flower shop admits to doing. She would not sell flowers to this individual because he's a gay man planning his wedding. And you simply can't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation in a consumer setting.
Now, her attorney has a slightly different take on it, as one might imagine. He says that she has no problem selling flowers to same-sex couples, but they wanted her to design the flower arrangements for a same-sex wedding. And she considers herself as something of an artist or a craftsperson. And she says she shouldn't have to be forced to do that because that violates her rights of free speech, her religious beliefs. Is that she says it's different than selling someone flowers. She will sell them flowers.
That's a creative legal argument. But I'm skeptical that the courts will uphold that in the same way that think about a restaurant and a chef at a restaurant. I suspect there are many chefs who view the work that they do in presenting a very fine meal as some artistic expression on their part. Does that mean you can deny service to someone who's Catholic or Jewish when they walk into your restaurant because you view your creation as an artistic expression? I think that is a slippery slope that our courts will be unwilling to go down.
Now, you've said we might be in for a lengthy legal battle on this. Why do you say that?
It appears that, and I don't begrudge the owner of Arlene's Flowers wanting to contest this in court, but it appears she'll have groups coming to her aid to defend her on this matter. And I think it's the kind of case that likely goes up to the state Supreme Court. It's a case of great interest, I think. And I think that she'll have the resources to contest it at each step of the way until it ultimately reaches the state Supreme Court. And I think the state Supreme Court will ultimately rule in our favor.
Did you have a lot of choices on who to make this case against? Have you been getting a lot of complaints since same-sex marriage was legalized?
No, this was I believe that this was the first one that came to our attention from this type of setting. And you always look at each case you have in terms of which ones to bring. In my view, at the end of the day, my job as Attorney General is to enforce our laws. That's the job. And in my view, it was a clear violation of our consumer protection laws. And as a result, we thought we should move forward with it. We did, and I think it's important for your listeners to know, we initially just sent her a letter without a press release asking her to simply agree that she would no longer refuse to sell flowers to a gay couple in the future. If she'd agreed at that point, there'd been no cost, no attorney's fees, no nothing. After a week, we hadn't heard from her. We called her up. She asked for additional time. We gave it to her. Later that night, we got a letter from her lawyer saying they're gonna fight this. So at that point, we filed our lawsuit, and it became public.
As you say, this is going to be kind of a test case. Do you anticipate this going to the state Supreme Court and perhaps further to the U.S. Supreme Court?
I think it's possible. And by way of example, in New Mexico, there's a case in New Mexico which is somewhat similar that is currently just was recently argued before their state Supreme Court. Long story short, that was a photographer who did not want to do photographs at a civil commitment ceremony. There was a lawsuit. The photographer has lost at each step of the judicial process so far. It was recently argued in New Mexico state Supreme Court. We'll see how that turns out. In Hawaii, the owner of a bed and breakfast refused to provide a room to a same-sex couple. Again, a court recently announced that you can't do that. You have to provide that that room to a same-sex couple in the way that you do for a heterosexual couple. So in the court actions we've seen around the country, the outcomes have been what we believe to be consistent and in support of requiring folks to provide that service.
So, Bob Ferguson, how do you like the new job as Attorney General? You were telling me it's kind of a long commute all the way down to Olympia. Mm-hmm. What about one of the things you're doing is now you're running a – how many employees do you have?
Yes, there's over 1,000 employees.
That's a pretty big group to oversee. How's that working out for you?
It's working out great. It's been almost exactly 100 days so far. So my wife and I, we live in North Seattle. We have young children there who are in school, and we're giving some thought to whether or not we want to move closer to Olympia. I do find myself in Olympia about 3 days a week, but we also have a Seattle office, so I can work out of that office, come by and visit you for the radio program at the same time, and that makes for a much shorter commute, obviously.
What's the most challenging part of the job for you so far?
You know, it's interesting. I've thought about that a lot, and in my view, the most challenging aspect of the job, to be candid, is the point you're making, overseeing a very large, important agency. And my previous background, the King County Council, you know, to be candid, I oversaw a small staff, became chair of the county council, so oversaw a somewhat large group, but still, relatively speaking, much smaller than the entire office of the Attorney General. So making sure I'm providing the leadership for an organization, handling those administrative functions in a responsible way, and making sure we're coordinating with our offices that are all around the state. I travel to our offices, for example, in Pullman or the Tri-Cities or Yakima, to meet with our attorneys, meet with our staff, and make sure we're heading the agency in a responsible direction. So that administrative component is, relatively speaking, new to me.
And how are you handling that? I mean, some people want to have a chief of staff or maybe a couple of key people who handle most of that for them. How are you dealing with it?
I think it's important to be for everybody in our office, all those employees, to feel a personal connection to me as the Attorney General. And that's why we're meeting with every single division. We have 28 divisions. I've met with every one of them, visiting all of our 13 offices around the state. You're right. I have a chief of staff and a chief deputy who oversee the legal and non-legal sides of the office. But I think it's important as the Attorney General to be visible all around the state and meeting with folks in our office and others throughout the community as well.
The Liquor Control Board is coming up with the rules for the sale, for the processing, and for growing marijuana. It won't be legally sold probably until next year right now. They've moved some deadlines around. Actually, they've combined the deadlines for all three of those licenses, so they'll come out sometime this summer. What do you, when you look at these rules and regulations that are being drawn up now, we don't know specifically what they're going to be. What are you specifically focused on? We have the Attorney General Eric Holder saying one of the things he's really concerned about is how the way these rules and regulations are drawn up will affect children. Mm-hmm. What are you kind of focusing in on?
Well, I guess it wouldn't be fair to say we're particularly focused on any one area, to be perfectly candid. What we need to do as lawyers for the state is make sure we're assisting the Liquor Control Board in crafting those rules and regulations that will serve the people well when it comes to legalizing marijuana. So there are numerous issues, as you might imagine. Eric Holder has his focus. Different folks have a particular focus on what they have a particular interest in. But our views are more general to make sure we're addressing all those. Now, I will say we take a particular interest in the views of the federal government because we obviously want to reach a resolution with the federal government, which has a conflict in their laws and our laws, to make sure we avoid a litigation, for example, that could be very costly and time-consuming and leave great uncertainty for the people of the state on whether marijuana will be legalized. So I think it is fair to say I've met directly with Eric Holder, our U.S. Attorney General, want to make sure we understand their concerns and are addressing them.
Like, where are we at on that now? Mm-hmm. This seems to be hanging out there. Everybody's wondering if the federal government is going to do something. I'm sure you're wondering more than anyone. Have you talked to the Attorney General's office recently? Do you have any idea where they are in this?
We have ongoing communications. What I can say is I know a lot of folks are really anxious to hear word from the federal government. From my perspective, hey, I don't mind that they're taking their time. They have a big decision to make. They want to get it right, and we want to make sure we help them get to the right decision.
Washington's Attorney General Bob Ferguson, thank you so much for stopping by. We'll have to have you back again.
It's a deal. Thanks, Ross.
It's KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm Ross Reynolds.